Welcome to Food for the Journey, and I hope it is a journey leading you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. That's what we need. Please, brothers and sisters, heed what I'm saying here. I'll make some mistakes, but the essence of what I'm talking about, take it to heart. It's not just sitting down for 15 minutes and listening to this. What's needed more is that you take what you hear and begin to put it into practice, one thing at a time, one thing. Choose one. And when it's ingrained in you, after maybe 6 months or a year, it's really ingrained in you, then try add another. But brothers and sisters, the important thing is that you love him and that you want to follow him. So we take a look now at the readings of Wednesday of the fifth week of Lent. And the first reading is taken from the book of the prophet Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you will not serve my God or worship the golden statue that I set up? Be ready now to fall down and worship the statue I had made whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, flute, lyre, harp, psaltery, bagpipe, and all the other musical instruments. Otherwise you shall be instantly cast into the white-hot furnace. And who is the God who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "There is no need for us to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, can save us from the white-hot furnace and from your hands, O king, may he save us. But even if he will not, know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue that you set up." King Nebuchadnezzar's face became livid with utter rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times more than usual and had some of the strongest men in his army bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the white-hot furnace. Nebuchadnezzar rose in haste and asked his nobles, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" "Assuredly, O king," they answered. "But," he replied, "I see 4 men, unfettered and unhurt, walking in the fire, and the 4th looks like a son of God." Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to deliver the servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the royal command and yielded their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." There is only one God. 3 persons in one God: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All the gifts and graces that they impart are for you. He is 3 in 1. Now we turn to the responsorial psalm, which comes from Daniel 3. And this is what they prayed for. That's what those 3 men prayed for when they were thrown into the fire. This is what they prayed. "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. And blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages. Blessed are you in the temple of your glory, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed are you in the firmament of heaven, praiseworthy and glorious forever." It's taken from Daniel 3. And I really would encourage you to take that prayer and make it part of your own. Sometime during the day, just to pray that part of the psalm is so good. It praises God. It honors Him. It brings Him right into our lives. And now we take a look at the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 to 42. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you remain in My word, you will truly be My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered Him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the Son frees you, then you will truly be free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill Me because My word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from the Father." They answered and said to Him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill Me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to Him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love Me, because I came from God and am here. I did not come on My own, but He sent Me." Wouldn't that have certainly stopped you for a few moments and said, "Who are you? Who are you? Why are you? What are you doing?" Because it was so different than they had experienced before. Brothers and sisters, God came to us, and many, many people believed in Him. And many people followed Him down through the centuries, generation after generation. So many people followed Him. I really urge you to open your heart more to the Lord. I've taken up a habit of just saying in the morning, "Lord, what would You have me do for You today? I love You. Help me." It's just a way of making contact and knowing that Jesus is right here beside me and beside you. You don't have to say anything out loud. You can just say it in your heart. It would take a little while to explain to other people why you're talking to yourself, because that's what it looks like. Just quietly in your own heart, tell Jesus you love Him and that you want to follow Him. I want to just share with you a portion of an article that Elizabeth Auser, who died in 1914, was a French laywoman whose atheist husband, after reading her journal after her death, experienced a profound conversion, and he later became a Dominican priest. Elizabeth Auser's prayers were answered. She writes at some point in their life, "Has my life known any unhappier time than this? The cruel ongoing trial of my sister Juliette's illness and the fear of the future, the painful knowledge of our mother's grief, my usual bad health, and painful oppression of mind and body. All this now makes my life a sacrifice I offer to God silently for Juliette, for those I love, and for all others. It is a great double sacrifice I offer, my life and my spiritual isolation," because her husband was not Christian. "So different from what I desire. to be always with dear ones or friends to whom I can never open my heart even for an instant, to whom I never can reveal anything of my being, is an intense sorrow. Jesus Christ must have known it. He who had so much to give and who endured rebuffs and contradictions compared to which mine are nothing. And yet through all these trials, and despite the lack of interior joy, there is a deep place that all these waves of sorrow cannot touch. There my inner life is hidden. There I can feel with God I am, and I regain strength and serenity in the heart of Christ. My God, give health and happiness to those I love, and give us all true life and charity. Eternal events would also be distressing if I did not have firm confidence in the future of Christ's church and the great hope for the future of our country. My God, give us children of light. Let apostles arise with burning hearts to go to the little ones wholeheartedly and bring them truth and love. You alone can save and transform. Give me, weak and little as I am, some of your divine strength, and come to me so that I can do much good. I am going to try again to act with renewed strength. At any rate, I know, thanks to the wonderful communion of saints, that I can certainly act through my present suffering, and God will do with it what he will. That was written by Elizabeth Lucer. She was a French laywoman whose atheist husband, after reading her spiritual journal after her death, experienced a profound conversion, and he later became a Dominican priest. You have no idea how God will use your prayers for those you love, for those who are in difficulty, for those who have turned away from God, for those who go faithfully to church but don't really have a relationship with him. Please, brothers and sisters, listen to these words. Pray that God may touch your heart, and he will. It doesn't come with, it doesn't come with thunder and lightning. It's a small, still voice. Or you get an idea in your head, you think, I never thought of that, or God wants me to do that. Test it out always with somebody else. But I beg you, brothers and sisters, draw closer and closer to him. He will lead you to others, and more people have the opportunity to enter heaven at the end of life. Could be because of you. Certainly because of Jesus Christ, but he used us for it, and he wants to use you. Open your heart to him now, I beg you, because many people have left the church. Many people aren't going to church at all. They just don't care. Let us pray that there be a refreshment of life, that we might follow him with all our hearts. God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.